The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director of your UAB Blazers. I'm Tony Curry. He is Mark Ingram. We do the show every single week talking about UAB sports and UABsports.com. Obviously, a very hard pill to swallow this past week. A 2-2 UAB hosting Army. It is our salute to Veterans Day and our armed forces. And Army comes, anytime you get the armed forces coming home, I think it's pretty cool. And obviously, UAB, was a small dog in that particular fight and just had a hard time finding themselves from the get go. And I know as an athletic director, that's going to be as frustrating for you as any fan out there.
Yeah, no question. Let me start by saying, how proud I was of our staff of putting together what should have been a great, opportunity for us to recognize our veterans. And we did a lot of those things. The government shutdown prevented us from being able to do a full flyover, which we had planned, and a number of other things because a lot of the dignitaries that were intending to be at the game could not attend, at no fault of their own. So we hope to be able to do that again at another game. And, but we still, you know, we did a lot of discounted pricing and certainly recognized our veterans at the game, which, I would assume every time Army or Navy or Air Force travels to some place, they do their, you know, salute to service game, which they, as they should. So I really thought that was all really nice. We had a great crowd, beautiful weather day, and everything was set up right. And then we just did not play our best. And you're right. It's frustrating. I actually thought our defense played really well for all the criticism that they've received over the last 2 years. If you look at 31 points, you go, how could you say that? Well, pretty easily, really, you know, we fumbled a kickoff on our own 25 and the defense held them to no score. They didn't score. Yep. They turned it over on downs and two plays later, we throw an interception, which they returned to the 15 and then they scored. I don't think that's on the defense, you know, and 5.5 minutes to play in the game, the score is 24-13. We go for it on our own fourth down. I'm sorry. We go for it on fourth down on our own 20. Again, we don't get it. And then they eventually scored again. That's how they got to 31. So I don't want to discredit Army, who did what they had to do to win the game. But I just don't think that was a defensive issue. We just did not play in any – I'm going to use the word rhythm. Some people maybe, you know, you hear broadcasters say, oh, their offense was so pedestrian. I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Sense of urgency, maybe. I know that word's – I know that word's used a lot.
Yeah. Or something. It just didn't look right.
Well, and particularly at home, Mark. I mean, I just, you know, expect, and I'm just as disappointed as anybody out there, particularly at home. It was just, it just seemed like it set up. And you know, it's okay to dream. You know, I'm sitting there going, okay, we got this. This wasn't supposed to be a blowout or anything. You can win this football game easily. I mean, I really thought you were going to pull around. And the fact that the government shut down and stuff, I thought more realistically, maybe they were going to be down a little bit. And UAB had an opportunity there. And you win this game and you're 3-2 and all of a sudden you got FAU and that's probably a pick 'em. And next thing you know, you could be 4-2 after six games. I mean, this is not, hey, we can play within 10 points of Georgia thinking, okay, right. This is real deal. So now you have to step back and you have to kind of reacknowledge where you're at. And I'll be honest with you. And I want you to take this wherever you go. We spoke before we did the show. As a fan, I just want to see improvement. You know, I know what we need to work on. And the frustrating thing here is, and I'm sure Trent feels the same way, there isn't one thing to put your finger on here and say, we need to fix that, and that will help us win football games. Yeah. There's a multitude of different things. So how do you tackle that halfway through the season?
Yeah, well, I think, listen, I'll say this word because he did, that the offense regressed. I think the defense has actually gotten a little bit better. Again, I don't think the score is a fair indication of how they played the other day. I thought the defense, they certainly did everything they could to win the game, and offense did not, which is, again, that's unusual for us. And so I'm using Trent's word. We regressed, and that's a problem. So, you know, we're playing Florida Atlantic this week. So the uniqueness, you talk about two different offenses, you know, Army, who's going to throw – I think they threw the ball five times. I think they were 1 for 5. One completion, 5 attempts, something like that. I bet Florida Atlantic throws it 50 times.
Yeah.
So you're talking about two very different offenses that you're scheming against. It'll be interesting to see. My guess is that we will try to continue to play balanced football the way really until the Army game, we really have done a decent job of. Tennessee, maybe not so much, but Alabama State, Navy, and Akron, we were pretty well balanced. And I know that's what he wants to be. Just like anything, the run sets up the pass sets up the run. You know, if you have balance, then what you're doing is you're keeping the defense off balance. Yep. And that's the goal. And I think that Army not being included here, I think we have gotten better there in that space. So my belief is that that's what we'll try to do is play a little bit more control ball, because Florida Atlantic is almost like the Mike Leach style, throw it here, throw it there. You know, we're going to hurry up and throw it all over the place. And which is tough. I mean, it's tough to defend, especially if they're good at it. And they've shown the ability to be good at it. But like us, they've been a bit inconsistent too. So I'd say for both sides of the ball, or both sides of the field, I mean, Florida Atlantic and UAB are probably wondering which team's going to show up.
Yeah. UAB director's chair. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. We've been doing the show for several years, a show I love doing with Mark. We can talk X's and O's, and we've had Trent Dilfer and stuff like that, but I love pulling back the Wizard of Oz curtain, if you will, once in a while on athletic directors and what exactly happens behind that curtain as well. And I know that if I ever throw a question out at you, that you don't want to answer, you'll just tell me to go blow off. So I do want to ask you a question though. Do you know Bubba Cunningham, the AD at North Carolina?
Very well. Very well.
Did Bubba have to hire Bill Belichick? And what I mean by that is, if Bill Belichick wanted to coach at UAB, would you have to hire him, right? You have to hire a guy that's won six or seven championships in the National Football League, right? I mean, that's you have to do that, right? You have to.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches. Forget sport. We're not talking football. He's one of the best coaches in the history of sports. His success speaks for itself. I mean, the number of Super Bowls that he went to, I think that the flaw in it, and I don't want to criticize my friend, and I don't want to say what influence others have, but look, man, other people try to influence who you hire. Other people can be fans. Other people can be donors. Other people can be board members, members of state government. All sorts of legislators can get involved. The number of calls you get advising you on who to hire and who to talk to is an off the charts number.
Yeah.
At every level. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that way at North Carolina or Ohio State. It is that way there. And I've been through it, at those sort of places, but, you get it everywhere. And so, yeah, Bill Belichick, depending on how he became a candidate, you would have a hard time saying no to that opportunity. I think that the flaw, generally speaking, is there's just this, because we're starting to pay players, there's some people that think that we're moving to a pro model. There are elements of what we're doing, meaning the compensation, that are like a pro model. But that is literally the only thing that is like the pro model. There's, you know, the New England Patriots, they don't have to worry about Title IX compliance with their, you know, with making sure that they're providing opportunities for females that are equal to those of their male counterparts. They don't have that. They don't have a track team, a swim team, a golf team, or a tennis team, male or female, that by no fault of the listen, these are great student athletes who are great at what they do. It's not their fault that those sports don't generally require a ticket to get in to watch them. Most places don't sell tickets for those things. That's not those kids' fault. I mean, if you go to, I'm just going to say Texas. If you go to Texas with all the conversation around Arch Manning and what a, you know, talented quarterback he is, their best athlete at the university might be on the swim team.
Yeah.
You know, the point is they might have a dude on the swim team or a female on the swim team who's about to go win 8 Olympic gold medals, you know, eventually. And so it's not their fault that they don't get the attention that they deserve. It's just what it is. And back to what your question was, is, and so there are too many people that think that therefore you've got to completely reverse the way you do things, the way you operate your business, this enterprise, if you will. But you know, whether it's collective bargaining and people want to talk about that, man, they don't ever have to get into those conversations about, hey, the team made this much in revenue and then shifted all this over to these other. You know, we're required. We have to have 16 sports minimum. Yeah, we have 18. And then you have to provide opportunities that equal and that not equal, but balance based on your student population of your university, that the male-female ratio is the same as that. And pro sports don't have to deal with that.
Well, it's only a conversation that that Bubba and, of course, Bill obviously had. And my first question would be, if Bill was interested in coaching my team, obviously I'd entertain the idea. That's why I said, sure. I feel like you've got to hire the guy just because you know you're going to sell season tickets. I mean, obviously he brought just a breath of fresh air into that program. And, you know, you're talking North Carolina here. That's not UCLA. It's not Oklahoma. This is a team, you know, under Fedora was 2-9 several years ago. Right. I mean, this is a football team that certainly had some sour times. But I would make sure that this is not a one and done. You know, if you know, I'm not sure how long he signed for, but you know, no matter how bad it is, you're going to be here for 2 or 3 years. We're going to work this out. So at the very least, I would make sure that, you know, you got it for, and it seems like he's in. I mean, this was not an experiment. This wasn't, let me see what I can do. And for people that thought that just because Bill Belichick's won 18,000 Super Bowls that he could come in and all of a sudden win 10 games in college football, you're an idiot. We should know better than that. You go back and look at their team from last year, and obviously it's gonna
hard.
Yeah, exactly. And so
this is hard. And you know, when you get to the professional level, look, the worst pro is a great player.
Yeah.
The worst professional football player is a great football player. And so you're talking about a different level of talent, a different level of maturity. There are things that you deal with these younger guys that the pros don't really have to deal with. And as a coach in the NFL, you don't have to do anything around, well, there's no academics. There are rules and there is rules compliance, but it's not about recruiting. You don't even recruit your talent. There's a whole scouting division. And the general manager that goes working with the coach about what do we think our team needs are, yes, but they are the ones out doing all the evaluation. And then people get drafted. You don't have to talk them into coming, right? It's not like recruiting where you've got to put them up in a fancy hotel and take them to fancy meals and show them a good time. There's none of that.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
Do you know how much hands-on he has? I mean, is it more like Is it a young coach that I'm not expecting Bill to go? And listen, recruiting is so much different now. You know, Joe Paterno never visited a recruiter's house. I mean, he may have done something to close a deal towards the end of his career where, you know, oh my gosh, Joe. Yeah. I'm sure that he was at some places' house, but by the end of it, yeah, Joe, I think absolutely. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that he was delegating a lot of different things, and I think it showed in his record. I'm not saying Bill Belichick's getting in his 1974 Vega and cruising the back highways of West Virginia looking for football players. And obviously, recruiting is gotten so much different. Now it used to be, okay, if you could coach, you're good. Then if you could recruit, you're good. Now if you can coach and recruit, you got something special. And now all of a sudden, you have to be this transfer specialist, right? Know how that shit works. So you know, I certainly understand that. But I feel for the program because, but at the same time, kind of like, well, that's what you got. And I think that's what you get whenever you hire a brand name like that. No one knew who Bill was. He's just an upcoming guy. That's one thing, but I do think it's exciting for the program. And I think it was great. I'd do it all over again. Even if he doesn't win a football game, I'd do it all over again. Yeah. Now, is he helping his cause by seeing pictures of girlfriend? I don't know. But you know, that came, that's baggage.
A little distracting, right? Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I'll say this, he's more hands-on, and I'm saying this because it's just what the job is. He's more hands-on in this job than he was in his previous job because it is required. You have to be.
Yeah, there you go.
You have to be.
D1 Administrative Committee adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and staff to now bet on professional sports. I knew you were going to, like, you don't have enough stuff going on in this big cauldron of NIL transfer or whatever we're calling this thing, house versus da 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 da. Now all of a sudden, this obviously was important enough for someone to say we need to vote on this. Do you have anything you want to say?
I've never heard anybody say they thought this was a good idea. I've never been in a meeting with other ADs where anything came up about it. No one talks about it because everybody knows this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So how we got to from a conversation that was a non-starter to a vote, I don't understand. And it's hard enough to help these young people make good decisions, just generally good life decisions. Why are we allowing them? It's almost, we basically are now promoting their ability. Like, hey, I guess good news. Now you can gamble.
Yeah.
Why would we do that? Why are we allowing that?
I don't know why. Well, obviously they're thinking it's going to be a problem, and so they might as well get in front of it. So obviously they know a lot of kids are probably doing this, whether they started off with FanDuel or Sport Kings or whatever.
Just because they're doing it doesn't mean we have to accept it and say, okay, well then we just throw our hands in the air, we give up, just go ahead and do it. I mean, if they're doing it, we should still say there are consequences for doing it, and you can't do it.
Yeah.
And at least the coaches could be saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
You're going to lose eligibility if you do. Don't do this.
So I was thinking about you this past Friday night. I was down at the BJCC concert hall. There was this guy in front of me. Could have been your twin brother. The only difference is he had a Captain and Tennille hat on. You know, he had one of those hats, you know, those white hats. Because we were doing the Yacht Rock thing with the Black Jacket Symphony last Friday. I cannot stop singing Robbie Dupree's Steal Away. I love that song, but it's been sticking in my head. They did She's Gone. They did a couple of Hall & Oates songs. They did the Pina Colada song. They did Reminiscing from LRB. They did some Steely Dan. So it was really, really good.
REO Speedwagon?
No. Did Toto, Africa, and Rosanna, and Hold the Line. They did You Are the Woman from Firefall, which I thought was really cool because that's not a song that you think you'd hear live. And it was like, wow, it's kind of cool. So it was kind of neat. But I do want to mention today, John Lennon would have been 85 today had Mark David Chapman not taken his life there on that sad day in Newark. And I wanted to get your thoughts because we don't talk a lot of Beatles. Where do you put the Beatles? Are you a Beatles fan? You just kind of put the Beatles? Okay. They're the best band of all time, but you're not just a huge fan, or are you a big fan, or just talk about John Lennon?
I mean, it's not like I've got all their albums, or anything, and never did, but, anybody that has the number of hits that they had, should be admired, and whether it's your style of music or not. And they had a lot of different songs meaning they didn't all sound the same. I mean, they really had a very wide variety of musical selections, and they all sang, it wasn't just that one person sang. It wasn't just Lennon and McCartney. I mean, Harrison sang, and even Ringo sang a couple of songs, and not great, but I mean, that says a lot. And, Kiss is that way, in terms of all of them, participating as vocalists. But I just think the musical talent and the lyrical talent that they had, the creativity that was the Beatles, I think they were a remarkable group of people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, brother, go get him this weekend. Go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com for everything that is UAB Sports. He's the athletic director, Mark Inger. We'll get back after it after a win this weekend. We'll talk next week, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.